Hi, I'm Jill Whelan.
And I'm Leah Mangum, your host on Empty Nesters.
Today's guest is my dear friend Kari Michelson from the TV show starring Nell Carter, Gimme a Break. It's coming up on Lunchtime Conversations right here on Sunshine 96.7, Radio St. Pete, streaming worldwide. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Empty Nesters. I'm Jill Whelan.
And I'm Leah Mangum.
And today we have such a good friend of mine. We've been friends for 10 years. You probably know her from a very popular show called Gimme a Break. Her name is Kari Michelson, and she's one of my buds from childhood. Kari! Hello, my love, everybody.
We love each other.
We do so much.
You.
We've known, how long have we known each other?
You know, since we were teenagers. Because your mother sold me my first home.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
When I got the series, your mom helped me get my first house.
Oh, Carol, the realtor to the child's job.
I know. Yes. So it literally has been decades.
Like, decades and decades.
Since we were little teenager people.
Did you guys shoot on the same lot or near the same lot?
No, we did not.
Not even close.
But, yeah. But
well, Kari, though, was... Kari was the hot teenager. Like, you were... She was.
I loved that show. It's my favorite show.
Teenager.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
I was not the hot teenager, it's okay. No, I wasn't.
The
I
most
was
adorable.
You were absolutely
wonderful,
adorable.
I didn't have any game.
Listen, I didn't
pressure because the call of my show went out as a Brooke Shields lookalike, which I looked nothing like that.
They should have had Claudia.
Well, the funny thing is, it was between me and Christian Alfonso, who ended up on Days of Our Lives. But Christian had really not a lot of acting experience at the time, although she looked just like Brooke at the time. So they gave me the role because I had the acting chops, and then they put her on Days of Our Lives.
I'm shocked that Claudia Wells did not go up for that part. Do you remember Claudia Wells?
Yes, but no, but Claudia was younger. She's, I think, a couple years younger than me.
Okay.
Maybe that would be, you know who was up for it? Was Helen Hunt.
Oh, really?
And
Helen Hunt was on my first series.
Oh, was she really?
Yeah.
So I had lost like 3 movies of the week to Helen just recently. And when I saw her in the waiting room, I'm like, okay, not this time. Like, I knew that I was better for this particular role than she was. So she did actually not, you know, get the part. But she did come on and guest star as, you know, one of my really close friends on the show. And then ended, of course, doing her amazing show. And
right.
Everything
right.
else fabulous that she's ever done.
And Whitney Houston. I watched that episode last night.
It's funny because Whitney, they were getting ready to launch her album. And she didn't sing on the show, which is kind of surprising. But, yeah, she came on, played my girlfriend. We opened a boutique together.
Right.
And she was so shy and so lovely and so sweet. Like, literally almost never talked. Like,
wow.
I mean, she was so quiet the whole week. Because, you know, we rehearsed for 4 days and then we shoot one as opposed to your show, which was filmed.
Right.
And then, like, a year later, it was the American Music Awards, and she'd won, like, everything. And
I remember
was there,
that.
And I went backstage, and she's all glammed up in the whole thing. And I'm like, I'm so excited for you. She goes, I know, I can't believe it. You know, but it was, she had shifted from this little,
mouse,
quiet, very reserved person to this, like,
superstar.
Amazing.
Icon. To an icon.
Yeah,
such like, overnight.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was incredible.
That's amazing. So I just want people to know that you, speaking of shifting to something else fabulous, you are now hosting an incredible show called In the Spotlight, and you've interviewed a ton of icons.
Yeah,
I was really, like, after my show, and for you guys that don't know, but, like, when you're on a TV series, it all seems very glamorous, but there's unglamorous parts about the entertainment business. And
yeah, like when your show ends.
Yeah. Well, and for me, at my age at the time, and for you, I'm sure you went through this too, like, every part I was getting offered for movie roles, it required nudity. You had to strip down.
Right.
And that just wasn't my thing. But in all the good roles, that's what it required. And I was getting so frustrated by that. Because, like, it's like, if you don't take your clothes off, you can't get this lead role. And so I got offered to host this show in the Spotlight back then. And I had never done broadcasting, but I'd been interviewed a bunch of times. So I started, my first interview was with Martin Sheen.
Oh.
And he was dedicating a wing of a rehab facility And it was during the time when Charlie was really struggling mm-hmm. with everything. And so I think as a dad, his PR people gave me 5 minutes, our producers. We sat down, we started to talk. And we just got into this most amazing conversation. And he stayed with me for like 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
He's so lovely.
He's so lovely.
He's just a nice man.
And I realized, I thought, you know what? What he just said is going to change people's lives. And I felt like as a broadcaster being on the other side, that I could bring things out of people. And then I interviewed John Travolta and, you know, Jim Belushi and Larry Hagman and all these people. The show ended after a number of years. And then I went off and did a whole bunch of other things. But then after the pandemic, I had always thought about bringing the show back, but mm-hmm. not just as a host. So I went to ABC and I thought it was going to be this big dramatic pitch and it was going to take years. And literally in the first meeting, they're like, we don't have anything like this. We would love to have this back on the air. And they gave me this amazing time slot, like in prime time, daytime, prime time, right before GMA3. And within a year, we were on the air. We're in our second season now.
Congratulations.
So it's been amazing. It's been so
William
much
Shatner,
fun.
You've had so many wonderful guests. Your interviews are just
Shatner,
fabulous.
I just interviewed recently. Yeah. Oh my gosh, for anybody out there who's like feeling tired and you're like 40, 50, 60, 92.
Oh my gosh.
And he's so full of fire and enthusiasm. And it was so inspirational.
He drives in the neighborhood. I still see him driving in a convertible.
It's amazing. And it was so much fun. And so, I have the privilege of interviewing a lot of, you know, politicians, actors, you know, athletes, you know, Olympians. But we do other things on our show because we have a charity segment that we do and we highlight different charitable organizations and nonprofits. And I love doing that. Mm-hmm. Right now, our host charity is called Unity, and they help displaced families. And Kenny Loggins and Brad Paisley are on the board, and they're so lovely. And so we've been promoting them. And we have a little segment where we honor business owners, where we highlight them so they can get some promotion. And then we do great travel segments. So
those are wonderful.
And,
love that. Those are
and
really
the
fun.
Cruising. Yes. So we have to talk about that.
Oh, we will.
Because we're highlighting that and, you know, just lovely places. Sedona, Arizona, Santa Barbara, like all the different lovely places.
I love that.
That's great.
Highlight Scottsdale.
I haven't been to Scottsdale.
Oh, well, you're going to because I'm coming there.
Oh, what do you mean? Like moving there?
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, we still have a house here. Mm-hmm.
You're going to make me cry. Why are you doing
this? I know.
Why are we moving to Scottsdale?
You know, our eldest son lives there with his wife and five kids. My husband's sister is there.
Of course.
My youngest, who just graduated high school last summer.
Oh, I know.
He's going to college in Arizona.
He's
going there.
Good.
And he's going to major in game design, so that's super fun.
Really?
But yeah, and so it's just, you know, my husband's been with my family for so long. It's kind of his turn. And we'll have the house here and my parents are here. So we'll have our tow here and I'll be here every 6 weeks anyway. So it'll all be fine.
All right.
But let's talk about Nick, because Nick is your son.
Yes.
He's doing his first year at college.
Yes. He's just literally finishing it like tomorrow. He has two more finals and then he's done with his first year of college.
And he's playing golf, right?
Yeah, so he...
And beautifully.
Like, it's crazy. Yeah. He got an offer. Uh-huh. He's on the men's golf team. He's playing D1 golf, which is a big deal.
Oh,
and it's
goodness.
So hard. And
right.
We're not golfers, and we didn't know at all. The recruiting process to become a professional athlete is such a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And we didn't really know the ins and outs of it, but it's a major, like, if anybody's ever got a kid who wants to play sports in college,
It's a thing.
It's a whole journey in itself.
How old was it when he started playing?
He was in a private school in middle school and they had a golf team, mm-hmm. but he had gone to some camps. He was the quarterback of his football team many years, played baseball, played basketball. When I was on the road with Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw, they took him under his wing because he wanted to be a professional quarterback.
Oh,
and it was amazing. But then he got started with the golf thing.
And I bet you feel better about that as a mom, right? Yeah. I can't imagine having a football
because
player.
Even like Terry, I mean, they've all had, like Terry's had, they didn't wear the helmets and the things
they
that
were leather,
to them.
Right?
And yeah. I mean, it definitely, I've had so many professional football players retired tell me, thank goodness he's playing golf.
My husband would tell you that too, because my husband was a quarterback as well. And just for, besides the traumatic brain injuries that can happen, it's everything else. It's your knees. My husband's shoulder will never be the same. All of that stuff.
Well, and then you can play golf for years. Yeah. I mean, Phil Mickelson is still playing, and, you know, it's so great, and it's so beautiful.
Great,
it's so
social
peaceful.
Sport. Yeah,
I mean, wonderful. He's been to the most gorgeous. They flew to Hawaii this year for a tournament.
Not bad.
It was amazing.
Not bad for mom either.
But yeah, so he's, and like I told her when, you know, her graduate, it's so traumatic. Like, when he drove down the street to go to school, like, I was a wreck, just weeping. You know, we live on a court up at the top of this hill. And I, as he's driving down the street, I'm just like, I completely lost it. But he's only an hour away from me.
That's
so
good. That's good.
I know
that's wonderful.
That somebody did that for me.
Yeah.
I could not have survived a child going across the country. Like, that would have.
I can't imagine. Our son's going to staying in LA LA, literally in the LA. So but he's still living on campus. But
and it's okay if they're on campus because like we can get to him in an hour,
right?
And which is great.
I have to find a place around campus to be like, I'm just driving by. I'm hanging out with Suzanne who lives. I got to find a friend that lives near campus.
Okay. We'll
figure this out.
We shoot up at Santa Barbara all the time.
Oh, that's great.
On this beautiful yacht that's in the harbor. Uh-huh. So we bring up like some of our celebrities. We can put them up in the Bacara or the Rosemont or whatever.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
So we shoot up there. So I have
you
all
have
these
great
excuses.
Yeah.
Oh, just happened to be in the area.
Right.
You want to go to the pier and get lunch?
Oh, I love that.
Well, so now tell me, because you said that the visual of him driving off the first time. What
it's
were
like
those
Toy
first,
Story 3.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, those first.
That's such a good. I know.
That first week, that first month.
Was horrible.
What was that growing pain like?
I was tracking him on the phone like every 5 minutes. You know how you do find my phone? Like I literally
That's
was tracking
all we
him
do.
On my phone.
Yeah.
And I don't do that anymore, but like I did because it was just to not have him. Listen, quite frankly, from the minute we gave him a beautiful car for his 16th birthday. And the minute we gave him that car, we didn't see a lot of him. So, but he came home every night.
Sure.
He was in the bedroom every night.
Right. You know where he's sleeping.
Yelling, Mom, can you get me this?
Right.
Mom, can you get me that? But it's so different when they're not there every night. And
when they're in, like, you don't know when they come in. Like, I know all my friends have kids at college. Even if he takes, like, trips with school, once I see the dot stop moving, I'm like, oh, that must be where he's sleeping tonight. I can rest. And my husband sleeps through the whole thing because he knows I'm
Because somebody's
I'm on,
the watch.
I'm on the watch.
Tracking.
Yeah, exactly.
And listen, we all know there's been horrible things that have happened on college campuses of late. I mean, many years ago, there was a horrible shooting in Isla Vista, as you know, which is where he is. And it's just scary to let them go, you know, but you have to do it. And I was kind of helicoptering on my phone, but I've gotten better at it. And he had the most amazing dorm room. He and he and one of his teammates from the golf team got this room on the sixth floor of one of the main dorms that literally looks out over the whole lagoon and the entire coastline.
Oh, wow.
It's like paradise.
Right, right.
And now they're moving. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I have to go and pack him up.
Uh-huh.
And then you graduate into the golf house, which is kind of like a fraternity house.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness it's not my son. I'm like, no, you're not going to live in the fraternity.
It's not Animal House.
He's in a fraternity, but he's got a golf house where it's like four guys on the team share the home together. It's a two-bedroom, two-bathroom home. And it's right there by campus, and it's awesome. And they're going to have a great time living
wonderful.
Together. So,
how has your relationship with him changed since he went to school?
So if you had asked me this right when he went to school, I would have been like, it's awful. Because he never called. He never, like, talked to me every day. And I had to try to resist, like, calling him.
How you doing? What's going on?
It was kind of like that as a senior as well. Because mm-hmm. I think, and I remember at that time in my life, you're trying to like assert your independence.
Trying
and
to
all
break
that.
Away, yeah. Right.
But what's been interesting is that, I mean, he always knew he could talk to me about anything, and he just didn't. Because he's kind of more, he keeps kind of his feelings inside and just manages them. I think a lot of athletes probably do that. They're just like, you got to just bear through it.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, about 3 or 4 months ago, he had to make some major life decisions about a couple of different things that had to do with his golf and this fraternity that he's in mm-hmm. and where is he going to live and all of that and who's he going to live with. And he started talking to me and he started calling me, and our conversations would last like 30 minutes wow. and then an hour. And then he would call me sometimes a couple of times a day. And it's been such an amazing experience to know that he trusts me enough to like call me and talk to me about these decisions. And what's been such a blessing, any of you parents can understand this, is because he's at a university. It's a phenomenal university. And, you know, you have to be really smart to get in there. But it's also known as a party school, which is a little scary.
Right.
And when you're an athlete, you have to manage that. And I just told him, I said, look, I don't expect you not to go out and have fun.
Right.
But like, you know, you just, he wants to go pro.
Let's not forget why you're there.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Well, also, he's sponsored by TaylorMade.
No way.
Full, I mean,
oh
like,
my gosh.
Yeah. We literally just went down there a couple weeks ago. They gave him a whole new set of clubs. We got there and you may not know who Tommy Fleetwood is, but he's a professional golfer on the tour. And it said, we walked in the door and it said, welcome, Nicholas, you know, my son and Tommy Fleetwood. And we walked in and like, then they took him to the locker room. And then there was Nick's name, Tiger Woods' name, Tommy's name, and this one other person. So they have this locker because they make Tiger's clubs and they have a replica of all the clubs they made for Tiger. So they really made him feel like such a VIP.
Yeah.
And they're basically saying, we're behind you. We believe in you. We think you have what it takes to go pro, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that shifted him. So after that, like he said to me on the phone, and you guys will appreciate this as moms, he said, I got to be really careful about the influences I'm around. He goes, I don't want them to influence me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I can go, like you could so easily go down the road of staying up all night.
Right.
Even though these kids are like 4.4, 4.5 GPAs, there's a lot of partying that goes on in college.
Right.
Let's get real. It does, right?
It's their first taste of independence. It's what they do. They're flexing that muscle, the whole thing.
But he has purpose. He has purpose and a talent.
That
and
that helps.
Yeah,
and
huge.
I said to him, because when I went to UCLA, I was a Delta Gamma at UCLA, and it was so much fun. And I was so glad that I was, because I did my freshman year. Actually, we went on strike. SAG went on strike.
Oh, yeah.
And I had taken a year off to get my acting career going. Mm-hmm. But then we were on strike, so I thought I'd been accepted to the university. I said, okay, I'm going to start. So I did, and I was in a I went in Rush, and I did the sorority thing. It was so much fun. And then I became a little sister to three fraternities, and that was fun. And then I got my series. Yeah. And so what was amazing is I said, Nick, the Hollywood is such a crazy place. Mm-hmm. And she knows this. You know this, right? And it all of a sudden you go from being an actor to being a celebrity. And then your life kind of changes because people look at you differently. They actually treat you like you've changed when they've changed.
Right.
They think you're
going
to be different. Mm. But you're still the same normal person with all your frailties and faults. And I found it very comforting that I could leave the set and go down to UCLA and be with my sorority sisters and go to a party. And I said, Nick, I think that, like, you know, enjoying yourself and going and having fun is important for the balance, because it's very stressful to, he's a straight A student, to get the good grades, to keep that up, to play D1 golf. He's actually number one on the team.
Oh, like,
amazing.
In his freshman year, he got up there and he was number one and number two with one of the seniors, who's an amazing guy that he played with in high school and who's graduating tomorrow. But the pressure is intense.
Yeah.
It's so intense. And golf is a very singular sport. Like, you can't rely on your teammate if you miss a shot or you miss the touchdown or whatever. It's like all on you. So I think it's been good. I said, you got to have some balance. And for me, I wasn't there all the time. I couldn't go to all the parties. I didn't live in the sorority.
Right.
But to get away And I really feel it's important for kids to have fun in college.
Well, absolutely. You have to let them.
It's like just getting married and never dating more than one person.
Right.
You need to have those life experiences. Yeah. But I'm still just thinking about you as the mom, not being a golfer, having this kid who's just like a wunderkind. Like, that has to be so, like, I didn't even know my son was running track in middle school until the coach said, hey, are you going to come to the track meet today? And I was like, why would I go to the track meet? He's like, well, because your son is undefeated so far. Wow. And he went all through high school that way. Yeah. He doesn't have Nick's experience in that kind of sport,
as far as
mega college stuff, because he'd burned out by then. But just watching him do, where did that come from?
Right.
I don't get. So how is that for you? That has to be so surreal.
I'm so proud of him, because the discipline that it takes to be an athlete in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, it's intense. And he wasn't the best player in the beginning, but he did make the varsity team as a freshman. And what was so beautiful about that is in middle school, he got bullied really badly in eighth grade. And this was his friends, and it was because he hadn't grown yet. Mm. So he hadn't had his growth spurt. So all of his friends were like 5'7", 5'8", and Nick was still up to here on me. Right. And that's one of the reasons why he stopped quarterbacking, because he couldn't see over the line, right?
Right.
So then he started doing the golf during COVID. Mm-hmm. He started continuing to play golf, and he was not going to play like a linebacker or whatever, and be smashed by some other kid that was a senior and weighed 175 pounds, and so he really got it, although he was still playing football, but it just took over, and I watched him disintegrate into, and I think he would be, I hope you're okay, Nikki, that I'm telling the story, but he did write about it in his college essay, which was, I was so glad that he did. His friends from this lovely school were just being so nasty. Mm. Hey, Nick, you're not even as tall as the fifth graders. It just got so awful that we literally pulled him out of school and put him online for a while, because his friends, they wouldn't stop. They were so ruthless. Mm. And it was really affecting him,
Right.
And affecting you, too.
Oh, my gosh.
It's horrible for your parents. Because I saw my outgoing little kid, smiley, laughy person, just become very withdrawn. And one day he even said, I don't even know if I want to even be here anymore. Mm. And that, now, he wasn't suicidal.
Right.
But just for him to even feel that.
Mine said the same thing.
Really?
Same thing, yeah. And I immediately called a therapist and got him into therapy.
Well, we know this stuff, right? So I put him in a program. It was a group program. And interestingly enough, he went in for, it was an outpatient thing for a couple of weeks. And there were kids in there that were really struggling. Mm. And they were cutting themselves. And some of them had attempted suicide. And I think when Nick was in there, he realized, wow, I don't want to be that person.
Right.
I mean, that's what I think is so powerful about group therapy for people when they're struggling, because you see other people that maybe are way worse off than you are.
Well, you gain perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it really shifted him. And then COVID happened and he was at home.
Right.
And then, of course, he grew during that time. And when he went back to school, he had grown.
Right.
He was still on the varsity golf team, but now all of a sudden everything changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when you asked me that question, all the way back to the question you asked me 6 minutes ago. sorry. But to see him overcome that, and he was terrified to go back to high school. He was anxious. But kids were better in high school. The counselors kept telling me they don't act so stupid like they do in middle school.
Right.
And they were great, and they respected him because he was a varsity golfer. Mm-hmm. And then he just got better and better. And then again, he was leading the golf team. As a junior, he was one of the top people. And then as a senior, he was the top player on the team. He shot 6 under to take them to the CIF finals, and was voted the best golfer.
Listen to the golf vernacular coming out of your mouth. You may not have been a golfer, but you're a golfer now.
I guess so.
I have a question. Yeah. So, and he came back to you, which is so amazing.
Yes.
And as you say, there are those years, that sometimes it's, the communication is difficult, I think, for mothers and sons, especially, because they really are trying to find their way. And what was your mom, what did you do to make that happen? I just want to know, was there something?
All of his life, he's had an open door policy to talk to us.
Right.
Now, his dad is a Brit. So if you guys know anything about the culture in England.
Stiff upper lip.
Yeah. They don't talk about anything.
No, right.
And so even like when we went through, you know, whatever's gone on in his life, we've always had a family meeting. Mm. And so if anything ever happened or we had to talk to him about something or a dog was passing away or whatever, we've had conversations. And even though he may not have talked a lot,
right,
he always knew, you know, that that door was open. And so I just feel like, and I have shared things with him over the years, like when he was going through the bullying, I've shared things with him about my own life and the challenges that I faced. Mm-hmm. I had a very serious eating disorder that almost killed me during the time that I was on television. And I've shared a lot of my own personal struggles with him so that he would know, you know, that I am imperfect and I have problems. And so when he did start calling me this year to make this major decision, which mostly had to do with his concern about, you know, they say, I've told him many times, you're the sum total of the five people you, you know, spend the most time with. And that's a very famous quote from some very well-known people. And it's true. And they say that, you know, when you're trying to achieve things in your life, that people can either drag you down. But I've also told him, you're also a leader, Nikki. So even if you're around people that are kind of going off track.
Right.
And I said to him, I said, you know, most people in college, they don't have a clue what they want to do with their lives.
No.
I happen to know. I knew I wanted to be an actor.
Right.
I said, but I know my friends. 95% of the kids there, they really don't know.
That's right.
And they're doing things to maybe please their parents or whatever. I said, so you have a goal, you have this thing, and they're looking to you, you know, you can be a leader and you can help affect them, you know, in a positive way, rather than thinking they're going to drag you down.
Right.
You
right.
can set the example, because he has to, if there's a party, he'll say, I'm going to be the sober guy.
Yeah.
Like if he has a golf tournament coming up, he cannot drink.
Right. Right.
Okay, he's under 21. I know he's not supposed to do it, right?
It's college.
Yeah, it's college. We all know it.
So but he will say, I've got to, and he's had to tell the president of the fraternity, I can't go to this thing or that thing because I've got a major tournament coming up and whatever. And he just won yesterday, like a big amateur tournament.
Wonderful.
Like in the amateur. That's amazing. Like, not, like, so he's had to discipline himself.
Right.
And even when he was in high school, when I know they're not supposed to drink, but they do. Right? When he would have a golf tournament on Saturday.
Right.
If he went to a party on Friday night, he had to leave by 10 o'clock and he had to not drink.
Yeah.
And the reason he was able to do that is because he knew he had something to lose, which I think is most of the secret of keeping your kids on that. Absolutely. So let me ask you, because I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
What is, I'm assuming probably one of your parenting moments that you hated was watching him go through bullying.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But what it's one of the parenting epic fail moments that you feel you've had?
That the epic fail on my part? Oh, gosh.
I have several, so.
Oh, my
goodness. I'm trying to think. Well, of course, there's been, like, you know, I think.
I left my kid in the bathroom at a restaurant,
okay,
but I drove
so
back.
Here's a real epic fail moment. So
you saved
when he was 18 months old, we went to Italy to depart on a cruise to go to Greece. And so we got on the ship. And they give you your wristbands and blah, blah, blah. And they gave one for Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to put it on. He was being stroppy about it. And so his dad and I were like, all right, whatever. So then we got settled. And then we went to the dining room to decide when we were going to dine, early or late, blah, blah, blah. So we're sitting there, the two of us, Dave and I, trying to decide when we're going to dine, talking to the maitre d'. And we turn around and he's gone.
Oh, no.
He's disappeared.
Panic.
In Italy. They're boarding the boat. It's a bunch of foreign people. We're turning around. We are running the halls of this ship because
goodness.
We didn't put the band on him that says his name.
Right.
He didn't even know his last name. right? I don't think he even knows how to pronounce his last name. We are literally running the halls. And then we finally realized we are in trouble. So we went to the, you know, desk. Our son is missing, blah, blah, blah. And so an officer, and then they said, go to the main desk. So, I mean, you can imagine that or 10 minutes were running
terrible.
In a foreign country
terrible.
Where he could be
anywhere.
Taken off to white slavery or whatever.
Right, right.
It was horrifying. And we're running to the main desk, I something catches my eye down the thing, and there's some crew member kneeling down in front of him.
I know.
And they had found him, and it was the most horrible experience of our lives.
Yeah.
Just because we were not paying attention.
Yeah.
And that could have been a moment, you know.
It could have been a completely different moment.
Yeah. Well, I was on the road with the gentleman who's, the one who hosts the America's Most Wanted.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name either.
John Walsh. And I was on the road with John for about 5 years. And the very first time I had to introduce John in front of like 30,000 people, I had to say it. You know what I mean? You know, for those of you who know, he lost his son, Adam, and Nikki was about the same age. And like that, the idea that you turn your head and you're not looking for 1 minute and your son is gone and, you know, and in a horrific way, that could have been us.
Yeah. It could have, but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Exactly.
And now your son is going to be a professional golfer.
Phenomenal.
And mommy's just going to be so proud.
And even if he doesn't, and I've told him in these conversations, if you decide you don't want that life, because it's living out of a suitcase, traveling all over the world.
Right.
I mean, I told him, Nikki, you're going to be successful at whatever you do. He has thought about acting. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, whatever you do, you're going to be successful. It doesn't matter to us whether he becomes a professional golfer.
Right. No, as long as he's got integrity.
I just want you to be happy.
Yeah,
and I think that's the biggest blessing I got from my parents was that when I got on my show, they didn't care at all that I was on a television series. And you know as well as I do, that is not the case for a lot of young actors. Their parents are more interested in them being famous than they are.
Well, they've forgotten that parenting is their first role.
Right.
But okay, I know we're running out of time.
Right.
Okay. But I just want to say we've been trying to make this happen for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I'm so happy you're here. But you're very busy. Be very successful.
Well, it's so cool because I actually am now a producer on the show, on your network, on ABC, right?
Uh-huh.
And to be the producer and the host has been an amazing experience.
I'm so proud of
you. Wonderful.
It's really, you deserve a dream come true.
You deserve every good
cross
thing.
The bridge that we're about to cross together.
That's right.
Yeah, this
that's
empty
right.
nest
No, but it's
bridge.
So, and you guys, you know, like, it's just such a wonderful experience to be able to hopefully get some information out, like what you're doing here about parenting is so important, even when they're out of school.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know
and family.
That my
and...
parents still parented me when I was 30 years old.
Oh, yeah. No, my mother still.
My dad is still.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was 29 that I went back and really talked to my parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, don't give up, you guys. If your kids aren't talking to you, like, hopefully, like,
they come back.
If you keep the door open. And they know it's safe no matter what they've done.
Right.
We've told Nikki, if you're ever anywhere and you've had too much to drink, we will come get you. And we've done that one or two times.
No questions asked.
I said, I don't care if it's 2 a.m, we will come and get you.
Right.
Do not get behind the wheel of your car.
If it's 3 a.m, you're on your own.
You can call me at 3.
Yeah, exactly. She'll be up. Trust me. I love you. Thank you for doing this.
I'm so excited for you guys.
This is so amazing.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm going to be coming to Scottsdale now.
You must come. And in the interim, you guys all have to watch In the Spotlight with my dear friend, Kari Michelson, on ABC.
ABC.
I know.
I love you. Thank you.
I love you too so much. Mwah.
Mwah.
Thank you.
Next time.
Bye.